building authority, and why are we gonna let these Johnny come ladies in? They help with them. And that's one thing I've had to understand with the company about. And that's not only there, but north too. North, east, west, and south. Anybody that joins us now is going to be treated equally after this convention, I mean, after this election. That's true. Equally on appointments and anything else. Why the hell do we want to be a minority party for?
That's right, I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, 24%.
To do it now, but if we treat them right, we're gonna get a lot of them.
Well, also, by treating them right, you can't just take their word now and then say after this, look, if somebody wants to be postman, well, not postmaster, but if somebody wants to be the revenue collector, whatever the hell we appoint people to, ambassador, consul, or so forth, that only Republicans need apply. Anybody that supports us can apply and will be treated according to his ability. Judges, U.S. attorneys, and so forth. I wouldn't say that too loud to Republicans, but that's what we believe. But you tell the Republicans in the South Florida that we are opening our doors, not just for your vote, but for your participation.
Mr. President, I just got out of politics. I ran in Baltimore County, which is 4-1 Democratic. I have to do that to get elected.
Well, Maryland is about
3-1 Democratic.
Maryland is what? 3-2. Well, California, you know, 3-2. I couldn't be here. I campaigned from the time I started running for office in 1946. I have never used the word vote Republican. Never. Any place in the country. Many Republicans have noted it, and most Republicans consider me to be a diehard strong Republican. I've always made the appeal to the Democrats because I knew that's where the ducks were. We'll get 93 or 4% of the Republican vote this time without question. They cannot affect the vote. On the other hand, we gotta go after 30% of the Democrats. And we gotta go after half the independents. That's to win. If we get 35 and 55, it would pay.
Mr. President, let me ask a question about the campaign. Will we be campaigning with the charter and the charter plan?
Oh, sure.
So the same way we did.
Yeah.
No.
We use military planes.
We'll be using military
planes. We charter military, but we charter. I assume this by any state here is chartered.
No, this isn't political.
Are these events going to be
political? Flight to Alaska is political, and that's Bill.
Sorry, fine.
We're very careful.
Yeah, we.
As a matter of fact, I use a 135 instead of a 137 to help our fundraising people because it's about $500 less an hour.
Kind of negotiation. Well, anyway, you use the government plane.
I'm just wondering about the trouble we have with the government plane or had before is that the 707 can't get into places we need to go.
We want a 727?
We had a 727, which can get in any place that gets
there. Why not charter one?
It might be a good idea to charter one for you.
I think the charter is a good idea. We might be better off with the charter.
Let me say that the charter has one other advantage.
Good political idea.
It's a good political idea, but also has another advantage. Damn it, you got good looking stewardesses to handle the press and other people who are on that plane, rather than the stewards. It's a much better operation. I can't use a damn thing because of communications, but you can use a charter. I think you should use a charter.
Well, I think the 727 can go any place almost a dead star.
It's an excellent idea, and airlines will love it,
and you can rig it for the campaign exactly the way you want.
And have it done now. We'll have to get at it to get it fixed with the front thing. I've actually got one. Oh, I know they've got one. You know, we probably have Humphrey's problem. One of the Democratic candidates dropped off, probably.
Humphrey doesn't have a plane that would fly.
EC3,
yeah. That doesn't work most of the time.
One of the things that I can particularly emphasize is the, what you're talking here is the, these people like to hear the positive stories. I used to make an awful lot of points on Eisenhower by saying that I was in the room when the president decided to go into Lebanon. Or I was in the room when the president decided to do about we had some real topics. You can talk about the May 8th, the blockade, and how the bureaucracy wasn't particularly standing up. So, without commenting upon Kavanaugh and others, it's
very disgraceful.
But this sort of thing is disgraced up. It won't get played, but sometimes this sort of thing will begin to seep through the public consciousness. But I can't emphasize too strongly, I hope that in every speech, ever speak, no matter what the issue is, spend at least 5 minutes on the Foreign Policy side. Because that is their great resistance. It's our great advantage, their great weakness, and don't assume that people are going to think. I think it's an awfully good thing, actually, to conclude speeches with. I used to do what I started. I mean, where we had a lot of domestic things to talk about, too, in those days. But good God, I was talking about foreign policy around here. It's needless to talk about domestic policy. We beat the living bejesus out of it.
Domestic policy gets to be a laundry list.
Right. On the other hand, I think you can say that in this whole area of reform government, you've been working on that, you've experienced in it, and here we have revenue sharing, this Congress has been sitting on its ass and not doing things.
We can also point out that never in the memory of most experienced political observers has there been such a groundswell of support for President Trump. Mayors and governors alike.
Great. Yeah. And incidentally, both part goal. Could you incidentally get to him before he gets on that, get a hold of Colson's office and be sure to get this. The best list of the outstanding Democrats that have come out for us already. You ought to mention Mayor Rizzo of Philadelphia. A number of later leaders there as a governor. It's, you know what I mean?
Did you see the one today?
Mayor Milwaukee's
a very powerful mayor. Probably
his wife came out.
His wife came out
and
said,
and children.
Why?
Because of the way they were treated at the convention, apparently.
That's great.
But anyway, you could say that there's a great groundswell. I would say that. I'd simply say the groundswell of Democrats and independents has been amazing. The most amazing thing you've seen in politics. I think you could also, and you say it's because people look to the future. And our job is, we've begun one of the most dramatic changes in foreign policy that the world has ever seen. The chance for the world to be at peace. We'll have no more Vietnams. You know what I mean? Having no compromise with the philosophy of communism, but in the event of recognizing the pragmatic situation and trying to build a world in which people with different philosophies don't have to fight against each other. I think on the domestic front, we also want to remember that here we have the economy now is moving forward, those are fine numbers as well. And we're going to reform this government to basically get government off the back of the people, to avoid a tax increase, to give the people more of a say with that. You've got that speech down pat. But I would never miss a chance to hit I feel so strongly about it. The pot business, the marijuana, the way out, the lifestyle stuff. I don't know how you can do it, but well, they have to. At least that can be it. God damn it, he can't get off of that. No incident that should ever come up. Eagleton made a shocking statement to the effect, well, the governor's position is the same as the president. Give them amnesty. After the war is over and so forth, and that they should. I've never said that. I said we wouldn't even consider it after the war was over. But mine is the Lincoln position. You know what Lincoln did? A kid who had fled to Canada, interestingly enough, was at the White House gate in 1965 and asked to see the president. The president saw him. He used to just have it open the door all the time. And the president said, I'd like to get back. I said, well, I don't want to leave Canada. The president said, fine. He said, I'll give you amnesty. Provided. He may serve in prison for the amount of time he's been out of the country. Now, that's amnesty. In other words, you cannot let these assholes that have dodged the draft come back after the war and say, oh, I'm all is forgiven because this was an immoral war, huh? They've got to serve, and that doesn't mean serving in the goddamn Peace Corps. They'll be in the Police Corps, and that's the way it's going to be. Lincoln's other kind of amnesty he gave was right at the end of the war. He gave amnesty. This is a part of the amnesty he gave to any Southerner. That was a war to Southerner. They wanted to join him. Of course, you give them amnesty immediately, just as the Jew wife. with the condition that those who have deserted or dodged the draft come and serve with their units for a length of time.
That wasn't easy to do.
You're damn right to get their ass shot. But my point is, we are opposed to amnesty. Any amnesty now, and we're opposed, there will be amnesty, and when they have to pay the price, they have to pay a penalty for deserting their country. I think that's a good hope.
I think this attitude that the governor has, and a lot of political commentators follow, that somehow amnesty is a different ballgame after the war is over. It doesn't bring those fellows back to get shot at all. Just because the war is over, it doesn't make it easy for everybody's forgiven.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I use it personally to show you how lousy they are. Totally sure. Was a classical quote. I said, well, I'll state my position. I mean, pretty directly, so that you'll understand. This is in one of his office press conferences maybe 6 months ago. I said, millions of young Americans were drafted. And they had to make a choice. I said, most of them chose to serve their country. And some died who made that choice for their choice. A very few chose to desert their country. Now they can live with their choice. But my God, that is the way it's going to be. Either that or if they come back, they're going to go to the can. I mean, tough as hell on that.
The suggestion just occurred to me when we talked about amnesty. I was watching McGovern the night he came down and talked to the Ragtag group in the Doral lobby. And he was asked about amnesty. And he said, I'm for amnesty. He did not qualify.
Not us.
We only have that film because when we state his amnesty position, which he has qualified in his position papers to some extent, we ought to dramatize it by saying we heard him, the country heard him stand in the lobby of the Doral Hotel facing the demands of demonstrators and say he was for amnesty. Because that's all he said at that time.
Because earlier.
That puts it right in
the. You know what I was going to say? How we handle this situation at one point. Let's talk a little about that. How we handle the situation if he changes position. Obviously, like Chancellor going on, and on four different things, sticking up, you know. I said I'd be about 10 minutes late this year. Yeah. About four different things, he'd say, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Reading out of the CIO AFL.
I couldn't believe it when he said that.
Right. Well, he did it. You told me about it.
He did it twice.
Right.
He did it once in a sort of early thing, and then he did it in a wrap-up.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what I'm going to say is this. I think we ought to say, I am now quoting from what he just said. Get the Playboy article. Get everything in. And pick that quote where he said, this is very simple. And then the press says, but that isn't his position. I said, well, it's not your responsibility. That's his. If he wants to change his position, he should tell the American people.
But this is what he says.
This is what he said. And don't you think that's what
I think? Absolutely. Yes, sir. And I think where he said it in a contextual, in an environment.
When he's being forced.
When we can say, not only are we being but remind the public of that demonstration of the Doral in connection with the
Use that in a commercial. Use that in a commercial. It's just a phone book. That would be great. McGovern on the
We issue. Have all our eyes.
Sure.
You've got the clip there.
One question, Mr. President. What time in the morning so that I can brief my press?
Well, it occurred to me that we ought to go at 10.
10.
Here, don't you think so, Bob?
I'll give you enough time.
If there's an Aussie
Well, maybe we should do it at 11 so that you don't, otherwise they'll gang up in front of your place. Which would you prefer? We could do it at 1. See, we'll make all of them.
Do it at 11 and have Ron notify your office as soon as he's done it, so your office can then say the Vice President will be available to the press at the airport at 1 o'clock or 12:45 or whatever.
I'd say 12:30.
I'd 12:30.
You've got to be there at half hour because you've got to get on the
plane. Well, you better do it an hour and a half.
Well, why don't you say 10?
Go to 10.
Announce it at 10 and say Vice President will be able to comment at 12:30 at the airport. You
Ron say? How does he?
Well, I worked on that committee. It should be very simple because I want him to make the news, not Ron.
Right.
And tomorrow. That'd be the best way. Ron should just announce it that
President's going to recommend to the convention.
Yep.
President
has
indicated that his intention.
So informed. The president has informed the vice president, has informed Clark Grader, has informed Chairman Dole that he's going to recommend. He informed vice president, Chairman Dole, and Chairman Grader that he's going to recommend the vice president as the candidate for vice president again to the convention.
You about put Scott in there too. He's a floor leader.
Labor Committee for 2 years, and the House Labor Committee is totally dominated by the leftovers. by the labor guys, and you just say we can't get it out of the House Labor Committee. And so if we were simply talking to hear this, we want action, not the issue.
And it's also cited in highly controversial and difficult legislation that you cannot fight on three or four major fronts at a time, as we are just working on like crazy on revenue sharing and welfare reform, two of the priorities that have been there longest. And we can't devote our effort. We've got to look at it pragmatically,
right?
And get done.
But I'm saying that we have put up legislation. We are still for legislation. The problem is that this particular provision is one that we can't even get out of the House Committee. So we're consulting with everybody concerned to see if we can find something that will be effective, that will aid, will support rather than oppose. So that's really what it is. But I so that Packard gets off saying he's done a fine job, and there's just a misunderstanding with regard to the thing, that he may be right about the sudden. One other thing, which I said, I'd like for you, who's up there at the House, who's up there at the Congress, I'd start having in on a regular basis members of the Senate and the members of the House, two members of the House. I think we should do that. You should hold sort of that I just talk to politicals, I can talk about their problems, their districts, their states, and so forth and so on and so on. Because as the political year gets on, they'll want to talk to somebody. I can't do it. I've got to stay here and so forth. And you can be up there to hear their beefs and so forth. I wouldn't limit it to the friends. You can't do a hell of a lot of so-called Wednesday group, but I see some of them. I mean, after all, they're going to pipe down now that it's done. But I think it would be extremely valuable for you to have a pocket of just chat. If you'd like to talk about politics, say what are the issues, what should we be emphasizing, what should we be talking about. Incidentally, among the issues, of course, that we want to ream hard, needless to say, is busing. God damn, every time we have busing, housing, what's right. Well, I guess those Africans are waiting for me.
Thank you.